So welcome to this evening's Bhagavad Gita class. We will be reading from chapter 13, text 8 to 12, and we will be doing text 9 today. There are 5 verses together, but has been distributed among 5 days. So yesterday verse number 8 was done. Today we will study verse 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Indriyartheshu Vairagyam Ahankara evacha Anahankara evacha Janma mrityu jara vyadhi Dukha doshanu darshanam Indriyartheshu vairagyam Anahankara evacha Janma mrityu jara vyadhi Dukha doshanu darshanam Indriyartheshu vairagyam Anahankara evacha Janma mrityu jara vyadhi Dukha doshanu darshanam. Please recite, someone. Riyarte shubhairagyam Kare vacham Janma mrityu jara vyadhi Dukha doshanu darshanam. Anyone would like to read from here? Indriyartheshu vairagyam Anahankara evacha Janma mrityu jara vyadhi Dukha doshanu darshanam. Okay, so we will read the word-by-word translation, then translation and then purport, but it's a all together for all 5 verses. So the translation we will read full, and purport we will cover that part which relates to this particular verse. The word-by-word translation, let us do from where this verse starts. So, it's on the second page. Indriyartheshu, in the matter of the senses. Vairagyam, renunciation. Anahankara, with being without false egoism. Eva, certainly, cha, also, janma, of birth, mrityu, death, jara, old age, vyadhi, and disease, dukkha, of the distress, dosh, the fault, anudarshanam, observing. So that's the word-by-word translation of this verse. Now we will read the full translation of all the five verses together by Srila Prabhupada. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge. And besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. Purport we will read from the... If you move forward and look for a paragraph that starts with false ego. Can you locate that? In my book it's on page 576. I don't know in other books. It starts with false ego. That paragraph will start. And we will read two paragraphs. Those two paragraphs pertain to the words that we are reading today. So this purport by Srila Prabhupada. False ego means accepting this body as oneself. When one understands that he is not this body and is a spirit soul, he comes to his real ego. Ego is there. False ego is condemned, but not real ego. In the Vedic literature, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 1.4.10, it is said, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am spirit. This I am, the sense of self, also exists in the liberated stage of self-realization. This sense of I am is ego, but when the sense of I am is applied to this false body, it is false ego. When the sense of self is applied to reality, that is real ego. There are some philosophers who say we should give up our ego, but we cannot give up our ego because ego means identity. We ought, of course, to give up the false identification with the body. One should try to understand the distress of accepting birth, death, old age, and disease. There are descriptions in various Vedic literatures of birth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the world of the unborn, the child's stay in the womb of the mother, its suffering, etc., are all very graphically described. It should be thoroughly understood that birth is distressful. Because we forget how much distress we have suffered within the womb of the mother, we do not make any solution to the repetition of birth and death. Similarly, at the time of death, there are all kinds of sufferings. And they are also mentioned in the authoritative scriptures. These should be discussed. And as far as disease and old age are concerned, everyone gets practical experience. No one wants to be diseased, and no one wants to become old. But There is no avoiding this. Unless we have a pessimistic view of this material life, considering the distresses of birth, death, old age and disease, there is no impetus for our making advancement in spiritual life. Let us chant Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutupadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnamamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsya हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा थैंक यू ऑल फॉर कमिंग दिस इवनिंग फॉर दिस श्रीमद् भगवद गीता class and discussion. Am I audible to the back? Everyone can hear me clearly? Okay. Because I am not able to speak loudly today because of Vyadhi. This verse So this chapter entitled Nature, the Enjoyer and consciousness. Many things are discussed in this chapter. We were discussing chapter 12 earlier, entitled The Devotional Service, where Krishna has described what is Bhakti Yoga and establishes the supremacy of Bhakti Yoga. As we all know, this Bhagavad Gita, divided into 18 chapters, the first 6 chapters they talk about the difference between the body and the soul, and also talk about the process of Karma Yoga. And the middle 6 chapters, from chapters 7 to 12, they contain the subject matters of Bhakti Yoga, which is contained in the middle. Important thing, the valuable thing is always kept safe in the middle. And then the last 6 chapters contain the subject matter of Jnana Yoga, a different type of knowledge about different topics. They are contained in these 6 chapters, starting from this chapter. So in the beginning of this chapter, Arjuna has asked a question about 6 things. what is Prakriti, what is Purusha, what is knowledge, who is knowable, means from the knowledge who is to be known, and what is the Kshetra and Kshetragya, the field and the field of knower of the activity, the field of activity and the knower of the activity. These six things he has asked. Two things have already been discussed before. Who is Kshetra and Kshetragya? Krishna tells in one verse that our body is the field of activity, because everything we do is pertaining to this body. In this world especially, we work through this body. This body means includes our senses, the mind, the intellect, everything. Because everything we do, we need some tool to do, and this body is an instrument to do that. This body has some subtle organs, subtle senses, and some gross senses, and then some physical organs. So we have our mind, intelligence and false ego, then we have our senses, eyes, nose, ears and all that, then we have our activity senses, working senses, hands, legs, all that, and then we have other body parts. So through these things we work. So that is Kshetra and Kshetragya. And then Krishna goes on to describe very important thing, what is knowledge. It's a very important topic. Everywhere people talk about knowledge. In the modern world, the word that people use is called education. People talk about education. The prime necessities of life earlier were considered only three. The bread, something to eat, some clothes to wear, and some place to live. Roti, kapda, and makan. But as the civilization has progressed, I'm talking in the recent times, because in the modern, our Vedic times, of course, these things were always there. The necessity of knowledge has become very prominent. Nowadays everybody talks about education. But people do not understand the real purpose of education. Through education, what knowledge is to be given, what knowledge is to be imparted, that people have no idea. All the knowledge that we obtain or acquire in the modern educational system is actually not knowledge, according to Bhagavad Gita. That is some skill we acquire through which we can do some work and make our livelihood. That is what people call as knowledge. Oh, that's a lot of knowledge in this field of engineering, in medical science, in this arts, and then commerce, and then so many different fields are there. Now we can't even count how many departments of knowledge are there in the current world. But all of that is actually not knowledge, according to, not knowledge in the true sense. Why? Because that knowledge does not help us understand the person who is to be known by the knowledge. Knowledge has got a purpose. The purpose of the current education is not to attain the Supreme Absolute Truth. Modern education does not have that goal in mind. The goal of knowledge is to understand the Absolute Truth. That's all. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita later on that Vedaishya Sarvair Aham Eva Vedyo. It's I am to be known by all the Vedas. What is Vedas is knowledge. And Krishna is saying, I am the goal of the knowledge. Means all the knowledge that we obtain, that knowledge should help us understand who is Krishna. And if that knowledge is not helping us understand who is Krishna and what is our relationship with Krishna, how to attain Krishna, what is the supreme goal of life, then that knowledge is not knowledge. That knowledge is not knowledge. That may be something else. People may call in the modern world, they may call that, they name it as knowledge. Some people call, oh, he's a very knowledgeable person. He knows a lot of politics. He knows a lot of psychology. He has a lot of knowledge about engineering. He's very knowledgeable about computers. People use this word knowledge, knowledgeable. But that is not in the sense that word is used in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, the word Gyan, Gyani, these words are used in the sense of understanding the Absolute Truth. Not in the sense of acquiring some mechanical skills through which we can do some work and earn our livelihood. Not that knowledge. Though that may be needed to maintain our livelihood in the current world, but that is not the real knowledge. So what is real knowledge? We see here so many items are described in this collection of 5 verses. How many are there? Anyone knows? How many items Krishna has mentioned here? We can count. There are total 20. 20 items of knowledge are mentioned here. Humility, count, let us count. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, 3. Tolerance, 4. Simplicity, 5. Approaching a bona fide spiritual master, 6. Cleanliness, 7. Steadiness, 8. Self-control, 9. Renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, 10. Absence of false ego, 11. Perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, 11. Detachment, 12. Freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, 13. Even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, 14. Constant and unalloyed devotion to me, 15. Aspiring to live in a solitary place, 16. Detachment from the general mass of people, 17. Accepting the importance of self-realization, 18. And philosophical search for the Absolute Truth, 19. Maybe somewhere one phrase may have 2. If we go through the verse, we can find, identify that. So total there are 20. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. Ignorance. So there are 20 subject matters of knowledge. Other than that, Krishna is saying everything is ignorance. Now if we look at our modern education, all these 20, which one is taught? We have so many things. None of this is taught. Sometimes some little bit may be taught here and there. But no, even that is not in the true sense of understanding the Absolute Truth. And the purpose of all this is actually to understand the Absolute Truth. Humility, learning humility by itself has got no meaning. Learning humility to understand the Absolute Truth is meaningful. Pridelessness is meaningful only when it's meant to understand the Absolute Truth. Every element of this knowledge is meant for understanding Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purports that among all these 20, the one which says, Mai Chananya Yogena Bhaktir Vyavicharani, which is constant and unalloyed devotion to me, that is the most important. That is most important. If one focuses on that, all other qualities will automatically develop. ഓട്ടോമാറ്റിക്കലി ഡെവലപ്പ്. സോ ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ ട്രൂ നോളജ് വിച്ച് ഹെൽപ്സ് അസ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ദി ഗോൾ ഓഫ് നോളജ്. ദിസ് നോളജ് ഷുഡ് ഹാവ് എ പർപ്പസ്. So this knowledge that is given in here has a purpose to understand Krishna, which Krishna tells later on. Here he is describing what is knowledge. After these verses, in the later verses, he describes who is knowledge, who is to be known. Gyan and Gaya. Gaya means who is to be known by Gyan. That is Krishna. So when a person acquires all these qualities, he understands who is Krishna. Now let us come back to the verse that we are supposed to discuss today. Indriyartheshu vairagyam anahankar evacha janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. We hear this verse so many times, right? Almost every class or every day we hear janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. So what this verse is saying is, when we live in this world, how should we live? Number one, indriyartheshu vairagyam. We should have detachment from the objects of sense gratification. Indriya artheshu means objects of sense gratification, objects of the senses. Vairagyam means detachment. So one should have detachment from the objects of the senses. Artha means objects. Indriya artha. And what is meaningful to indriya is indriya objects. My eyes wants to see something beautiful, ears want to hear something mundane music, tongue would like to taste food outside. So different senses would like to engage. It's a natural tendency of the senses to run towards the sense objects. It's natural. But for someone who is practicing yoga, one must restrain the senses from engaging in sense objects, control them to the extent it's required. It cannot be completely stopped. We cannot stop eating, but eating can be regulated in such a way that is, it serves its purpose of nourishing the body and it does not become sense gratification. We cannot close our eyes, not see, but rather see things that will help us grow in our Krishna consciousness, and avoid seeing those things that will pollute our consciousness. Both objects are available. Eyes objects in the market, there are so many pictures, so many things to see. In the temple, deities are there, devotees are there, beautiful places are there to see. So we can engage our eyes in that objects. So we have to regulate all our senses. That is called vairagyam. Sindriyartheshu vairagyam. Then anahankar evacha. And also anahankar. Anahankar means the antonym of ahankar. Ahankar means pride. So that's why the word is pridelessness. And one should not develop any pride. And there are so many reasons to be proud in this world. Everybody becomes proud of very little things, either because of some wealth. I have this much wealth, so I am proud. Or I have so much power, so I am proud. Or I am very beautiful, I am proud. I am in a very authoritative position, so I am proud. Or I can sing very nice kirtan, so I become proud.
I can cook very nicely, so I become proud. I can speak nice class, so I become proud. So many reasons are there to become proud. But a devotee should be careful that all these skills that I have has been given by Krishna to be used in His service. I do not own any of these things. It's Krishna's blessings that I have, and I should use it. As long as I remember that, I will not become proud. When we forget that, then I become proud. So whatever abilities we have, Krishna gives everyone some ability. Everyone has some capacity. So we should always understand that this capacity, this ability has been given by Krishna to me to be used in His service. There is no reason to be proud, because these abilities can be taken away at any moment. In a flash, it can be taken away. It does not take very long time. Any moment. I may be physically very strong. Suddenly a disease may come and I may become completely bedridden and become powerless. Completely. So these, when we encounter these situations in our life, we should remind ourselves, yes, Krishna is teaching us to become humble. To become humble. One should not become proud. And that comes because of false ego. As we were hearing the purport by Srila Prabhupada, the ego is always there. Because ego means identity. Ego means identity, that's what we should understand. What is ego? Ego means identity. Now their identity, it can be real identity or false identity. If we have real identity, like we always understand ourselves as a very insignificant servant of Krishna, if we have that identity, who am I? I am servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Then that identity, that ego is good. But if I have any, I identify myself, I think of, I am a big engineer, I am a graduate with M.Tech, B.Tech, Ph.D., doctorate, double doctorate. I am Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Siddhanta. I have this degree, that degree. If I identify myself, if I think myself like that, then that is false identity. And there are n number of identities that we can acquire. There is no limit. I am a very good cook, I am a very good kirtan singer, I am this, I am this. All these are identities that we have. And we think like that many a times. Sometimes somebody displays a superior quality than me, then my ego is hurt. I am a great engineer, and sometimes some bigger engineer comes, my ego is hurt. How can he know more than me? If I am a nice kirtan singer and every day I sing in this temple, one day another kirtan singer comes and he sings better than me, my ego is hurt. Because I am identifying myself as I am a great kirtan singer, instead of identifying that I am a humble servant of Krishna. Krishna has given me some ability and Krishna has given him another ability. And Krishna has given everyone ability. Just like Prahlad Maharaj had ability and Hiranyakashipu asked him, where are you getting this ability, that is strength? To defend me, to defend yourself from me, oppose me all the time. He's saying, I am getting the source of my strength is the same as the source of your strength. So Prahlad Maharaj is recognizing that the strength that Prahlad Maharaj is not becoming proud, that see, whatever you do, I can protect. I will just chant Krishna's name, Krishna will protect. He is not proud. He is very humble. And he is recognizing that the source of strength that my father has is same. Krishna only has given him the strength that he is the ruler of the whole world, and Krishna has given me the strength also, and Krishna has given the strength to an ant also. Ant also has some strength, it can walk. A bird has some strength, Krishna has given. Every living entity has got some strength, Krishna has given. When we recognize that, if that is on top of our consciousness, then we will not become proud. But most of the time, that, even though we understand it, but that takes a back seat, and my other identification takes a front seat. Even though I have heard that I am a servant of Krishna, but that is sitting somewhere in the back of my mind. And the front is, I am an engineer, I am a principal, I am a very good expert teacher, I am this president, or I am this and that, and all kind of things. When that comes in the front, that becomes the false identity. And that is what creates pride. So a devotee should be very careful all the time that what we are identifying with ourselves. Because any time all the abilities can be taken away, it does not take any moment. Krishna can take away within a flash, it can go. Then comes Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukha Doshanu Darshanam. What Krishna is saying is that Anudarshanam, darshan means to see. Anudarshanam, one should always be seeing in this world these four things. Means we should always be looking at this world as this is a place of Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. And these are the faults, dosha, saying dosha. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukha Dosha Anudarshanam. These faults of this world we must always observe, because then only we will be able to stay in proper consciousness. When we always remember that death can come at any moment, disease can come at any moment, then only we will be able to stay in proper consciousness. Otherwise we forget. And then we start becoming proud, and we start making permanent arrangement in this world. We start running after this, building a big project, big house for ourselves. Thinking, oh, I will do this, I will do that, all kind of things come. One may do big things for Krishna's service, that is different. But for oneself, one should not endeavor too much. One should always understand that this is a place of misery. Then only we'll have the impetus, as Srila Prabhupada writes, if we read that purport. Prabhupada writes that unless we have a pessimistic view of this material life, one should not be very optimistic about the material life. One should always be very pessimistic. Then people in the material world would say, oh, he is not a very optimistic person, he is very pessimistic, which is considered very negative. Someone who is pessimistic is considered a very negative person. One should be very optimistic. Yes, we should be optimistic about our spiritual life. Devotee should be optimistic about spiritual progress. We'll have a lot of hope for progress in spiritual life, not in the material life. A devotee is not very optimistic about material growth. A devotee is satisfied about whatever material position one has. Tulya ninda stutirmani santushto ena kena chit. Santushto. A devotee is satisfied. Ena kena prakarena, he is satisfied. Whatever is there, fine. Not there, fine. He is happy. Is not very optimistic. This was Prabhupada is writing. Unless we have a pessimistic view of this material life, considering the, and why should we have pessimistic view? Because this world is a place of birth, death, old age and disease. And there is no avoiding this. No one can avoid these things. Unless we have that, there is no impetus for one making advancement in his spiritual life. So clearly Prabhupada is saying. unless if we are very optimistic about material life, then we will not have impetus for spiritual life, because we will be making so much effort to progress in material life, and we will not make efforts to progress in spiritual life, because both don't go hand in hand. A devotee is very optimistic about his spiritual life. He has a lot of hope, a lot of dependency on Krishna. He does everything for his spiritual life. For material life, he is not very optimistic, because he knows that no matter whatever you do, it will come to an end. No matter what you do, it will come to an end. Birth is very miserable. Of course, we all forget. None of us remember our birth. We know that we are born, but we do not remember what kind of pain we have gone through. But we may have seen or heard others being born and going through difficulty. We may have heard that. Especially mothers know how difficult it is. And we can also imagine in Srimad Bhagavatam the miseries of the unborn child is described, the book chapter, where the whole child's consciousness is described, what child thinks. Because for a small child who lives like this in that womb for such a long many months, it is very miserable. For us, if someone asks us to live like this for 1 hour, just imagine. Aapko aise bandh ke aise baitha diya jaye. Someone ties you up, for how long can you sit? After 5 minutes you start crying. But you see, the small child lives there, and that also I am saying, to tie you and put you like this in open air where you can breathe, you can see, but the child there cannot see anything. It's totally dark, surrounded by fluids. What kind of situation is that? It's very painful. Even if the child cries, there is no one who can come for help. No one can help. And child is only protected by Krishna there, in that state. Any other person in any other situation will die. Because that is the arrangement of Krishna, the child survives. Otherwise, how can someone live in like that, right? Can we imagine? In a fluid all around, you can't see anything. And you are tied like this for so long, many months. But one survives. Because that is an arrangement of God. But it's painful. It's miserable. And child comes out crying. Birth is very painful. And death is very painful. Though we have not experienced, but one day we all have to experience. But we must have seen others who have gone through. Many of our relatives, elders, friends, they have gone through that. And if we have been close enough, we would have observed that it's miserable. Then, but the other two things, disease and old age, we all experience. We see here many old devotees in age. They must be knowing how difficult it gets. Our physical strength goes down. Our ability to hear, ability to see, ability to work, all that starts to dwindle. And small children, they may not understand what is old age at this time, but as they grow, they will understand. And disease, everyone understands. Now, is there anyone here who has not fallen sick? Have you fallen sick any time? Everyone falls sick. And disease sometimes can be very, discouraging. I went to Haridwar last week for 3 days with my parents and family. because my parents live in a village in Allahabad and they never get to go out somewhere, so I thought it's a holidays and I'll just take them for 2-3 days. So 3 days we were there, and I thought, okay, it's Mother Ganga's water, and I drank too much. Because last year when I went to Rishikesh, I drank a lot of water, but that was in the month of May, and maybe the water was very clear and all, so it didn't affect me last year. I drank too much. I will fill the water bottle, and I'll just drink wherever I go. And I was not affected. I was quite okay. So this year also I thought maybe I'll drink. And I drank too much water, and the day before I had to return. And in the morning I had a train to catch, and the previous night at 11 o'clock I started vomiting. And whole night 6-7 times, heavy vomiting. After 3 times I was so weak. Vomiting sometimes can be really draining. Everything, first round it just came out, everything whatever was there. That's heavy. Second time, very little. Third time, nothing comes out. But so much effort goes in. And then I was so physically weak that I was not able to walk. I was thinking, how will I go back to Vrindavan? But I had brother and other family members, so they all helped and took care, and then I somehow managed to come. And since then, I returned back day before yesterday evening. Since then, I am lying in bed. I'm still sick. So I was wondering whether I will be able to speak today or not, but somehow I came. So I'm just telling that the vyadhi, and I had not fallen sick like this for many years. Sometimes a little bit fever may come, but that just you take one medicine, it goes away. But this time it is really draining. I'm physically so weak, I'm not able to lift a bag. It's so weak. So a sudden moment, a disease may come, and that may take away all our strength. And it can become worse. Fortunately, I am recovering. So from this we can understand that this is the nature of the world. There is nothing surprising about it. That is the nature. Disease may come any time to anyone. No matter one is big or small or rich or poor, anyone may get afflicted with the disease at any time, at any place. This is the nature of the world, and Krishna is saying, Anudarshanam, we should see that. In this world, we should live seeing that this is a place where disease, old age, death and birth has to come. So when we maintain this kind of vision, then we will have a pessimistic view of life, material life. And then we will have impetus that this world is actually not a fit place to live. I must sincerely endeavor to progress in my spiritual life. And we must give more time, more energy to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So chant, we should hear, we should serve. We should follow all the principles as much as possible of devotional service. And then progress on our path back home, back to Godhead. And this way our life will be meaningful and successful. So we'll end here, and the other verses will be continued by the speakers in the coming days, this year. So thank you very much. Time is already over. If anyone has anything to say, yes.
What happened to the child is not moving. the Prabhupada gave some example of that, that the 180,000 scorpions they are biting and you are fainted in the womb. And after some time then Lord's mercy will get up again. So this is the pain which the child he experiences in the womb. But when he comes out he forgets everything. Because he had so much love of his parents, brother, sister, father, and this one. So whatever pain he had in his womb, he forgets. But this pain is there, which we don't remember. When taking birth is pending, telling a birth is a painful. And during the death also is painful. I have seen some of the people who are in the bed for maybe 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. They have so much pain. And after that, they cannot survive and they leave the body. This is the painful, the death is painful and the birth is painful also. And in between also, we have so many different pains and pressures are there. So, pain we forget and we remember the pressure that I am enjoying my life and everything. But when you get sick, then you say, oh, I am dying now, I don't know when I will die. Just like you give an example. Then you feel that the death is here, but again Lord is giving you survive. Then again you survive, again you are doing the same things. Again in the material world we are doing the things. Which we are Prabhupada saying, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, our pains and pressure are taken by the Lord. So Lord takes away all the difficulties whatever we are having. So this is the
Yes, thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice lecture.
Thank you.
So, by hearing you speaking, something came to my mind which I see like all of us suddenly. So, I'd like to share with the devotee. It might not be a topic necessary for this lecture, but just to. You said that pride is very bad and Shri Krishna doesn't like pride, and even the gopis had to be chastised by Krishna. Krishna disappeared from the rasa dance because he wanted to teach the gopis to teach to us. So the example of the gopis should never become proud, even being great devotee like nice to see you.
Yes.
Another thing I was thinking is a little before in the purport, Prabhupada mentioned that even to think I am happy is a designation. It is, I find it interesting. I don't understand exactly why. I understand it because
we think we are happy materially. Because I am enjoying my senses, so I think I am happy. But that is not the real happiness, because the things on which my happiness is based can be taken away at any time. So that is not permanent happiness. So that is a false identification that I am happy. Real happiness only exists in the spiritual world. So in that sense, so many people here, if we talk, they will say, I am happy. What is the problem? I have my house, I have my family, everything is there, and I am happy. Why should I do bhakti? But they don't understand that at any time all these things can be taken away. So in that sense, in the material world, that identification is not correct.
And I appreciate very much this point you made, that everything can be taken away. Abilities, even Arjuna was such a great warrior.
Yes.
So if you have something to say about that.
that means then we are, when we start getting weaker in our devotional service, then we should look for stronger association. So when we associate with strong devotees who are very staunch and firm, advanced, then we get a lot of optimism in our life that fills us with energy. It happens because the influence of material energy is always there. So we should constantly associate with those devotees who are more advanced than us. And that way we will stay optimistic.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, bro.
Guru Maharaj said that all this broken glass, but Krishna is going to, how it is it this? How it is this in his social life?
Yes, by following the process of devotional service, we will progress, because this process has been given by Krishna. So if we follow the process, we will progress. It takes time. So we will progress. That is not a problem. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaur Premanande. Hari Bol.